Begin the current Daf, Mesechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Beis. Begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara relates a halacha mentioned on the previous Daf, and will then introduce a question related to that halacha. Gufo, we learned that we had learned in our mission in the previous Daf, Ra Eisen Ratzen Achar Metzia B'chulu, if somebody saw people running after a found object, something that could be acquired from Hefker, and he realizes that it's in his field right now, and it's a broken deer that has a break, fracture, or a bird that can't fly. And on that, Omer B'Yechon, he qualified that this, that the Mishnah said that if he says, I want my field to acquire from me, it's acquired by him, by his chatzer, is for who shiratz acharein magin. It's only if he could run after it, and if he would be able to run after it, he would reach it before it leaves his field. And even if he doesn't run after it, his chatzer could be like mitamiyad, it could be an extension of him, and it could acquire the field for him, even without him running after. Now, that by Rabbi Yirmiyahu had asked a question. That's regarding acquiring something from Hefker. But what would be the halacha if someone's gifting him this deer or this bird? Then does it require that he has to be able to reach it? Or maybe then, and that was the premise of Rapapa's, who had the second answer in the Gemara in the previous daf, to answer the question on Ulo, which was the same interpretation of Rav Yehuda, which was qualifying the halacha of a Mishnah that has to be Emin B'tzad Tzedehu, was based along the same premise, that maybe gifting would be different, and actually Kibla Menei Rabba Abba Bar Kahana, they said that yes, by gifting would be different, Ava B'sharotz Acharein V'ein Magiyan, that even if the guy would run after it, he wouldn't be able to reach it, still his chatzah could be kainid for him, this thing that the other person is gifting him. As we learned, that there's a difference between when there's a matana or when he's being kainid from Hefker. And that was the halacha from the previous daf. So regarding this halacha, the Gemara asked the following question, which will relate back to this halacha. Bayi Rava says, Zarek Arniki, somebody throws a purse, which he says is Hefker, whoever comes first. Now, as Tais explains, he wasn't actually Mafgrit, because as the Gemara on the previous daf explained, the only reason why it's going to work for this halacha, as we'll shortly see, is because Das Acheres Makna Oise, someone else being makna to the individual from the fact that we bring a proof from this previous halacha that we just quoted from Matana. Because if he was mafkir, then immediately, right when the purse leaves his hand, it would be hefker, and therefore when the person is being zeichah, there would be no das acheres. So then it wouldn't work under the same premise as the halacha of Matana, which only works because, besides the fact that it's a schus, it's also das acheres as being maknit. Rather, says Taisus, not to be gross, this word va'afkirei, because it is the individual's until someone else comes and is zeichah from him. So he's being maknit to whoever gets it first. So on that, Rava asked the following question. So he's throwing the purse, says, first come, first serve, whoever takes it, gets it first. And it went, b'pesach zeh v'yotze b'pesach achar. He threw it, it went in one doorway of someone's domain, and it was going out the other door. Now what's the halacha? So what's the question? So the Gemara explains, aver she'in seifa lenuach, airspace that ultimately, it will not end up landing in that airspace of that person's domain. But kimunach dami, does it have halacha like as if it's placed on that person's ground and therefore the first homeowner is zeichet because it went into his domain and his chatzer is kainit for him? Or maybe do we say this not like it's on the floor? Now, Rashi explains the reason why the question was posed regarding specifically if he's throwing in through someone else's domain in avir she'ein sefer lenuach, which is not going to end up landing on this ground, and rather it's going to pass through, if that's like kemunach or not, because if it would be airspace, which ultimately that he threw it in someone's domain and was going to end up landing on the floor, then it's obvious, even if someone else would grab it and take it from the air before it lands, that the first guy would acquire and the second guy would not acquire it. The reason being is because the moment it enters his ear space, the homeowner acquires, as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Gidnaf, Ayin Tesem and Aleph, let's say the woman was standing on the top of a roof, and the husband threw her a get, once it enters the airspace of the get, of the roof, she's already divorced. Or the reverse, the same thing, if he's on the top and she's on the bottom, once it leaves the airspace of the roof into the airspace of her chatzer, then even if it gets erased or burnt before it lands on the ground, she's divorced because already it was in her airspace. Here the question is, but it's not going to end up landing. So then, and was going through, then do we still say it acquires or not? So Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, so Rav Papa answers to Rava, V'Amrila, and some say it was Rav Ad Ramasin L'Rava, and some say V'Amrila, it was Ravina who said L'Rava. Lav Hayna Mesnidin, isn't this the halacha of our Mishnah? How so? As we just mentioned before, our Mishnah said, Ra Eisen Ratzen Achar Metziah, if he sees people running after the Metziah, and he says, I want my chatzar to kind of for me where it's right now in my chatzar. The Amr B'Yechon, he qualified, he says, "If Husharat Zachary in the Magin, it's only if he could run after it and he'd be able to reach it, then if he would be able to, then his chatzah could be kainet even without him going." And then that Rabbi B'Yemri B'Matana asked, "And what's the halacha B'Matana? If someone's gifting it to him and it's going through his field, could he acquire it? Does it require that he could reach it or not?" And he received that, yes, there is such a difference, as you see, Shailas Chacham Chatzit Shuv, in that question you see already that there is a difference, that by a gift, even if he would run after it, he would not be able to reach it, even so that, in other words, it would pass through the field before he would get there, still, his Chatzit could be kindled to him when it's being gifted to him. So you see, when something is rolling through a person's field and it's not going to end up staying there, still his field could acquire it. And that's why Tosafot proved that it must be the element of Das Acharis Makna, as we explained the halacha on the previous daf. So this guy too, who's being makna to him, giving as a gift, although it's not going to end up staying there, it's flowing through, and here the guy couldn't have caught the animal either, but you see the chatzah could be kainit, so that answers your question. On that Amalei, Rava says, no, it doesn't answer my question. Miskalgal ka'amrit, you're bringing a proof from the halacha of our Mishnah regarding something rolling through, where it's touching the ground, like the animal is moving through the ground. It's not going to end up staying in the field, but it's touching the ground. Rolling through is like it's on the ground, although it doesn't stay there, but it's ultimately touching the ground, so then the chatzah can be kinda. I'm asking a case of when it's in the air, the aver, that might be not kemunach dami at all, because it never touches the ground, and therefore, maybe it wouldn't be arrived from the halacha of a Mishnah, and it would not be kinda. That was my question. That's not resolved from the halacha of a Mishnah. I think it moves on with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of these parakim of the halacha of mitziyah, of finding a lost object, and how one goes about acquiring it. So the Mishnah tells us, mitziyas benoy ubita haketana, regarding a person's minor son or daughter, which the Mishnah is going to say that these are things that he acquires, the father, which why he acquires his son's mitziyah, that's a minor, the Gemara will explain, by his minor daughter, that already the Gemara Masechet Ksubos Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis explains, we learn out from Pesukim, where a minor and even a Naira, who's a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, kol shvach nireha lavia, all the gain that she gets goes to our father. So the minor daughter, that's obvious, that he gets her Metziah, but regarding the son, we'll see in the Gemara. So to Metziah's Abde V'Shevchas HaKananim, his servant and maidservant that are non-Jewish, those mitzias, what they find goes to him. The reason being is because he owns their body forever. As the Pasuk says, "Mirka chafevis nachaltim." So whatever komasha kana eved kana rabbi, whatever they get, their mitzias goes to him. So to mitzias ishtoi, if his wife finds a lost object, the Rabbanan were misak and they instituted because of Eva, as we'll see on Amud Beis, the relevancy to the Seifa, because he has to feed her, and then what, when she gets something like a mitzia that's not going to go to him, which it's all gain only to slanted towards the wife. So because of that, there too the halacha is, in all these cases we described, Ha'ri'el Shaloi, it goes to the husband, to the father, to the male, to the one that is the balabais. Now in contrast, Metzias b'no yubita ha'gedoylem, for his adult sons and daughters, or Metzias avdi v'shevchasi ho'ivrim, his male or female servants that are Jewish, which the Gemara will ask, why is this one of the cases that it doesn't go to the master, but it shouldn't be any worse, a Jewish or a Jewish male or female servant, any less than a worker, which we already learned in Daf Yudim and Aleph, that a worker that picks up a mitzvah goes to the homeowner, because whatever he's working is for the Baal Bais, for the guy who hired him, and a slave, although they're Jewish, shouldn't be any worse. So the Gemara will address that, but on that, the Mishnah tells us if their slaves are Jewish, or Mitzis Ishtai Shagirsha, or if his wife finds something but she's already divorced, then Avapesh Lenosing Ksuba, even if he didn't give her the Ksuba yet, but still, since she's divorced, Ariela Shalahan, that goes to them and it does not go to the Balabais. Now, regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah, regarding Benoy that's a cotton, the Gemara asks, Amar Shmuel, Memneva Amr Mitzis Katan La'ava, why do they say that when a minor son finds something that it goes to the father? In other words, regarding the daughter and the wife, so that the Gemara explains in Masechet Ksubos. As we explained, we reference them, the daughter from the Psukim and the wife because of Eva, because it's not fair. He has to support her, so let whatever she gains go to the Komashikon, the Ishikon, the Baila. But what's the reason why the son? Why should it go to the father? So that explains Shmuel, Shebeshosha Maitza, because the moment a little kid finds something, Meritza it's love if he runs to his father. He doesn't hold on to it, doesn't leave it in his hand, and therefore, essentially, when he's picking it up, it was with the intention of picking it up for his father, because he doesn't keep it. Say, tati, tati, look what I have here, and he gives it to the father. So therefore, it was the intentionality for the father. That's why it's the father's and not the child's. Now, on this answer of Shmuel, the Gemara asks, Lamemer, is this to say, the sub of Shmuel, that obviously Shmuel holds, Cotton Leslie Schi Lanafshi Bidaraisa, that a minor does not have any biblical acquisition to acquire the Mitzvah, because as the Mefarshim explained, if the Cotton had a Schi Daraisa, then we wouldn't interpret and say that what's really his, because he actually is acquiring it from Hefker, that automatically goes to the father. It's only because, obviously, Shmuel holds it's rabbinic, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that when a Cotton finds something because of Darkei Shalim, so then we say, okay, it's the minor's, but it's not really his. So therefore, since his intention by picking it up is for the father, so we say that's part of the Darkei Shalom, that it's the father's. But if he held that it was Deraisa, if the minor had his own biblical acquisition, it wouldn't go to the father, even though a child picks it up and runs to show it to his tati. So from the fact that Shmuel said that the reason why the Metzius of a cotton is La'aviv must be, is because he holds that the minor doesn't have any biblical acquisition of his own. On that, asked the Gemara Vatani, but we learn the Braisa as follows. Hasicheres apayel, if someone hires, a plantation owner, hires a worker, so Yalakit Benoy Acharav, the son of that worker, if let's say he's poor, is allowed to gather the Matnas Anim, that of Leket, the gleanings that fall after his father, who's the worker, and to collect those things which fall by the wayside. But if the worker that's working for this owner is acquiring in the field Lemechta L'Shlish L'Revia, which is commonly called an Aris, where he gets half the profits or a third of the profits or a quarter of the profits, then this worker is essentially wealthy. And in this regard, he's like the homeowner in this field. And therefore, lo yalakid b'nei acharav. So his son cannot gather the matnas anim after his father, because since the gleanings of the son go to the father who's wealthy is not allowed to take matnas anim. And therefore, in that situation, the son cannot glean after the father's. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he disagrees. He says, "Benkach benkach yalakid b'nei b'ishle acharav." In either case, whether the father is just a regular worker and he's poor, or even if he's, quote, wealthy because he's an aris, he's a sharecropper, still the son and the wife could glean after him, because even if the father's wealthy, but the son is poor, and the son is taking it for himself. Now, V'amar Shmuel said regarding that machlokes, halachic Rabbi Yisi, halachas like Rabbi Yisi, that in either situation, even if the father is, quote, wealthy, the son could be malakid after him. Now, ask the Gemara, if you say that a minor biblically has his own rights when he merits from Hefker, it really is his own acquisition. So you could say, Kika Malakit. So here in this case of the Halacha of Rabbi Yisi, when he's gathering the Leket, Lanafshiko Malakit, he's really gathering it for himself. Vavu Mine Kazach, and the father then gets it from him, but really the minor is getting it for himself, because biblically he has his own Schias. And as we said before, that if he's having his own schiyas, essentially it's going to him, and then, okay, he could then transition to the father. But that's something else. The father's not getting it from Matnas Anim. The son, who's allowed to take Matnas Anim, is giving it to his father. Eli'i amid katan lesli schi lanav shei. But if you say, as seemingly Shmuel's explained, the halacha of a Mishnah, that a minor does not have any biblical rights to merit in his own, that's why we say automatically it's considered mitzias ben la'aviv. That's why when he picks it up, it's for his father, it goes to the father, because only rabbinic that he has the kinyanim. But then the question is, then here in regards to how could Shmuel say halachas like Rabbi Yisi, ki kamalakid, where therefore when the son is gathering the gleanings, la'aviv kamalakid, he's gathering it automatically for the father, because biblically he has no acquisition. It's rabbinic, and rabbinic law views it as if it's really directly to the father's. Avua asherhu, the problem is, in the case of when we're saying he's a sharecropper, the father is, quote, wealthy. So amai ishle b'nei malakid acharav, then how could Shmuel say, by passing like Rabbi Yisi, that the wife and the son could glean after him? So the other Gemara answers, no, Shmuel taima didan komar. In this that we started here, the Gemara, Shmuel was only coming to explain the reasoning, the rationale of the Tana of our Mishnah. Why did the Tana of our Mishnah say that the Metziah of a cotton is la'aviv? Why should it go? And that Shmuel said, you want to know the reason of the Tana of our Mishnah? Is because he holds that a cotton doesn't have schila nafshei midereisa. But Shmuel, actually in Halacha, does not hold to the Tana of a Mishnah that the Mitzi of a cotton goes to the father. To the contrary, he holds like Rabbi Yisi that the Mitzi of a cotton goes to himself. And that's how Rabbi Yisi holds that a cotton could always glean after his father, even if he's wealthy. Now, and that the Gemara asks, V'savar Rabbi Yisi cotton is le'ischim in deraisa? So you just explained that Shmuel doesn't contradict himself, because here he's just explaining our Mishnah. But halachically, he holds a Rabbi Yosi, which is that Rabbi Yosi holds that a minor does have biblical zchiyah for himself, and that's why he held that the cotton could always glean after his father, even though at this moment when he's working as a sharecropper, he's considered wealthy. On that, as the Gemara, does Rabbi Yosi really hold that a cotton has biblical zchiyah? But right now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says Metzias Cher Shreit of a cotton. Regarding a deaf, mute, or mentally deranged individual, or a minor, who again, all these don't have das, when they find something, says the Tanna Kamma, yesh ben b'shem gezlam nedar kasham. We view that if someone would take it away from these individuals, what they find, it would be considered theft, not halachically, biblically, but because of the ways of peace, because it's not fear, it's going to cause discord if they found it, even though, yes, halachically, legally, it's not really theirs, because they don't have das, they can't make a kinyan. But to keep the peace, we say that no, even if a minor or a cheresh or a shaykh find something, they could keep it. That's the Tanna Kamma. Now, Rabbi Yisrael says it's not just gezel because of Dakar Shalom, he says it's gezel gomer, it's complete theft. Now, Vam Rav Chizda, he explained Rabbi Yisi, doesn't mean complete theft biblically. Gezel gomer midivrehem. It's rabbinically theft because of Darkei Shalom. Now, says the Gemara, Nafki, you know, what is the halachic difference between Rabbi Yosi? What more is he coming to add? That if the Tanna Kamma already said it's Gezel because of Darkei Shalom, what's he saying? Gezel Gomer because of Darkei Shalom. He's coming to say that the sages were stringent to treat this theft like complete theft. It's not just like theft, it's like we treat it as complete theft. Mean to say, Leitziba de Yonin. To say that we'll even remove it from the guy who took it from the chesh of the cotton through the judges, through the court system. That's how we'll treat it like complete theft. But one thing we see, the way Rav Chizda explained this halacha Rabbi Yosi, that biblically, the minor does not have his own zchiyah. As we say, that even Rabbi Yosi says, Gezel Gomer is only midivreim, only rabbinically. So it comes out that if he's only zaycher rabbinically, then we're really back to the question, similar to the contradiction we had asked with Shmuel, comes out that the father is stealing from the paupers. Because here we see clearly that he does not hold that the cotton has a schila navshei. He says that midiraisi does not have. And if that's the case, so then it's automatically going to the father, if it's only rabbinically, and then the father, how could he take if he's considered wealthy? So Elam Abai, rather Abai says, not like the way we had explained the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, the way we had explained to resolve Shmuel. Actually, Rabbi Yosi says Abai also holds like the Tanat Var Mishnah, that a minor does not have a schila lanavshei midiraisi. So then how do we understand the halacha of leket? How is it permissible for the son to gather after the father if it's going directly to the father and the father is wealthy? So that is because since the worker has a wife and children, asu'uhu kamisha holcha banam mushes, they considered it regarding when this guy is working, they considered it as if the namushes already had passed through the field. Which the Mishnah Masechtas Peyot on the 8th parak explains, when is it permitted for every single person, even not a pauper, to go ahead and take the leket, the gleanings that were left over in the field? Says the Mishnah, it's from when the nemushas already passed by. Which a Gemara later on here in this Masechtas says, it refers to likute bas likute. If already people gathered, and then the people gathered again, then everything's probably gone. So people already give up hope. From that moment, the paupers already don't even think about going there, and it's considered hefker, so even wealthy people could take from there. So says Abai, here also, Danim Gufayu Maschadatayu. Here the poor people already stopped thinking about it. They're already miyayish from the leket. Because Savri, they think, Breidahayich Malaktilei. The son of that guy is going to gather. Because this guy's not really a wealthy guy. He really doesn't have money. So his sons don't have. Now, he's considered as wealthy only because he's getting Lemechsel Shesh Levi, which considers him like the homeowner. A homeowner is not allowed to go out and take his own leket. But they're saying, wait a second. This guy, although yes, the father is not allowed to go ahead and have his son gather if they were not miyayish. If they were not hefker, then he's stealing from the poor. But explains Abaya, it is already like hefker when this worker has a son who doesn't have money. Because they're thinking, if this guy's the father, he's the worker, he's going to have a son trailing right behind him. What's the point of going there? So it's like Nemushas already went, meaning that same halacha where automatically they're already miyayish, they gave up hope of getting from it. Then, you're right, everyone's allowed to take, even the father who's taking through his son, because it only rabbinically goes straight to the father, because it's not stealing from the poor anymore, because not the poor is anymore. Now, this interpretation asks, Omalir of Adar Masla Abaya, asked Abaya, I don't understand. It's a backward logic. Do you think a person is allowed to lay down a lion which in this case is reference to the sun, in his field, Kadeshi Roh on the envy of Rahu, so that the poor people should see and be afraid and run away. I don't understand, he asked, what's the logic in what Yalacha you're saying? You're saying that really, the father does get automatically through the son, because the son does not have a biblical acquiring for himself. So sins only rabbinically, goes straight to the father. As we saw that even Rabbi Yisi holds, there's only Gezel Gomer Divrei, when they get when they find the Metziah, it's only rabbinically. So then you're saying, yeah, but it's not a problem that as if the father's taking it, which virtually he is through the son, because everyone else was already miayish, and they're mafker and hefker, oh, so then everyone's allowed to take, even the wealthy, like the father. Yeah, but why are they giving a pope? Because he has a son trailing after him. But how are you allowed to have this son over there in the first place? What, do you think you're allowed to put a line there to block people from getting there? No, you're not allowed to do that. So how are you allowed to have the son there to make them be miayish, to then let the son take, to which the father is considered taking? You shouldn't let him have a son there. So Elam Rava, rather Rava explains, as a Ketim Tamid Beis, that Asu She'ena Zeicha Kezeicha, that in this situation, they made the one who usually does not have any Zechila Nafshe, which we said biblically the son does not have, they made it as if he does have. In other words, so although in the regular place he's not Zeichla Atzmoy, like the Tana of our Mishnah, but here they made him like he is Zeicha. Now my time, what's the reason that they did that? Because Aniyim Gufayin Nechelhu, the paupers themselves, who essentially are the ones that are losing out by having this guy's worker's son following after him, now the poor can't take, they themselves prefer this takana that the son should be allowed to, quote, acquire for himself, and thus not consider as if the father is getting it directly and therefore stealing from the poor. Why? So that when they themselves get hired out as workers, that their own sons will work. They want such an operation because that'll be incentivizing the capitalistic venture of, okay, I'll work and then I'll have my son be able to gather after me. They prefer that even though they're going to be losing now because the son is going to be able to take, even though his father is there, merit for himself, and it won't be considered as if it's going straight to the father, which is a rabbinic takana. They want that because then when they themselves will be working, they'll have the same thing. So again, so although generally, yes, Rabbi Yisi even says Abaya, not like as we said for Shmuel, agrees to the Tana of a Mishnah, that a katan is not Zeichel Nafshe, and that's why we said in the Mishnah that Metziah goes straight to the father. But here was an exception. They made a takana Rabban as if the son is Zeichel Liatzmai. Now the Gemara says, Upliga, that this interpretation of Shmuel, that he explained the reason of a Mishnah, why is it that the Metziah's cotton of a ben is la'aviv, is because the minor has no schila nafshei, therefore when he picks it up, it's like directly it was picked up for the father, says the Gemara, that disagrees with Reb Chiya bar Abba. Why? Because Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amar B'yechin, and he said, in interpretation of our Mishnah, when we differentiate between an adult son and a minor son, that the adult son goes to himself and the minor son goes to the father, explains Rabbi Yechanan, like gadol gadol mamish, when we say an adult, that it goes to himself, it doesn't mean literally an adult, but like cotton mamish, and when we say that a minor goes to the father, it doesn't mean literally a minor. Ella rather, he explains, gadol, an adult who actually has rights to acquire things from Hefker, biblically for himself, he's an adult, but if v'samach al shulchan aviv, if he's dependent on his father's table, meaning his father feeds him, zehu katan, that's, quote, the halacha of a mishnah of a minor, that we said the mitzvah goes to the father because he's a minor. He's still like a kid in some sense that his father is still eating by his father's house, living in his father's house because of eva. Same halacha that we have regarding a wife, that her mitzvah goes to her husband, even though she's an adult, and she's not owned by her husband, but it's because of hatred that it'll cause that he says, hey, I'm supporting her, and then she finds something, she gets to keep that too, so it's all loss and all gain for me and all gain for her. So because of that, we say, okay, so that's why her mitzvah goes to her husband. Same thing over here, says Rabbi Yechanan, that it's not a din in a gadol or a katan. When we say katan or gadol, we mean in contrast to the father. If the son is even an adult, he's still eating by his father, we consider that as a minor because the father's feeding him. So therefore, the mitzvah goes to the father. But if he's katan ve'ena samach al shulchan aviv, even if he's a minor, but even not dependent on his father's table, zehu, quote, gadol. This is what we mean in the Mishnah, that an adult, he could keep his mitzvah for himself, because, yes, not like Shmuel. Even a minor does have his chila nafshei. He does acquire for himself. The only reason why in the halacha, the Mishnah, that it would go to the father is because if he's dependent on his father, then that's even by gadol. But that's what we call a katan. When we say a gadol keeps them for himself, it means someone that's not dependent on his father, which is in a way of maturity. He's a gadol, he's independent, which that's one of the primary definitions of what a gadol is. Then that's the halacha mitzvah sala'at l'nafshei. It goes to himself again because he actually does have a schiyah l'nafshei. Then the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah. So the next category he said was Metzis Avdi v'shev chasai ho'ivrim. So he said that there's a difference between the slaves, by the non-Jewish slaves, then it goes to the master because he owns them, but when they're Jewish slaves, harehu shalatzman, then it goes to themselves. So the Gemara asks, Amai, why is that? As we alluded to this question, lo yehei, his slave, albeit Jewish, shouldn't be elapoyel, no less than a worker who's hired to work for this guy for the day, for the week. V'tanya learned in the Braisa that says, look, mitzias poyel asma. When a worker finds something, he could keep it for himself, but qualifies the Braisa. B'med v'mum, when did we say that? That's his man sha'amalai. That's when the balabai is, when the one who hired him, who contracted him, told him, nacheshimi hayem, I want you to weed for me today, or other imayem, I want you to hoe for me, to plow. He told him a specific job he wanted him to do. Avol amalai say imi malachayem, but if he told me, I just want you to work for me today. In other words, when he hired him, he didn't specify a certain type of work. Today you're working for me. 9 to 5, you are working for me. I'll decide what jobs I want you to do. Says the Braisa Mitzias Labalabayis. So then what he finds goes to the homeowner, because any work he's doing that day, including finding the lost object, was already hired by him, by the master. So here, by the slave, when his master buys him, he's buying him for any type of work. So why is he going to say the Mitzia goes to himself when it's no less than the worker where the Mitzia goes to the Balabayis? So now the Gemara gives three answers. Amar Abchiyah Bar Abba Amar Yechon, he says, Hacha Be'evet Nekiv Magrol Yisaskinu. Here we're talking about a slave that is a craftsman. That is, he pierces holes into pearls, which is a very delicate job, and you need to do that so you can be able to string it through. His master does not want him changed to do any other work, because this is, you're only doing this job. Now, therefore, he does not prefer that the slave pick up a lost object to find it, to give it to the master. Why? Because finding a lost object that will be so valuable that it'll be worth it for this guy to stop doing his highly expensive job is not so common. Now, therefore, even if it does happen that this guy finds something valuable, he's going to be able to keep it for himself, the worker, meaning the slave, because he was only bought the slave to do this job. And therefore, the intention was never that the Balabais ever wanted it to acquire anything else, him to do anything else. So he could keep it for himself. He'll have to pay the master the amount of time that was lost, proportionally of that he used the time to spend to bend down or to get that lost object, because he's every moment of his is bought and owned by his master. But the actual found object is his own, because the master did not contract him, even as a slave, for anything but to string the pearls. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he says, we're talking about where he picked up the found object during the work that he was doing. In other words, he didn't actually stop doing any work at the time that he found it. He was working and at the same time scooped it up, so therefore it goes to himself. Because although, yes, a slave, every moment of his is no worse, even a Jewish slave, than a worker, but yeah, a worker, if he's doing his job, then he could also be doing, like, scratching himself. He could be doing other things if it doesn't take away from the work. And here it didn't take away from the work, therefore he could keep it for himself. A third approach of Papa, I mean, he says, going the other way, says this that we learned in the Braisa, which we had asked a question from, that a worker, what he finds goes to the Balabayas, which we asked, okay, so then an Eved Ivri should not be any less than that. And I think Gemara says, no, it's not true. An Eved, so to a worker, the Mitzia goes to himself. Why did we say in that Braisa the Mitzia goes to the Balabayas? It's against Shishchari Lelakat Mitzias. It's actually talking about where he was hired to gather found objects. Now, V'hechidami, what would that be talking about where he would be hired to gather found objects, which, yeah, then if he picks up any found object, of course it's going to the owner because that's what he was hired for. In contrast to regular, even if it was general work, the Mitzia would not go to the master, as we see in Halacha of Eved Ivri. That would be talking about the Akfe Agma Bechavri, where the river flooded, overflowed over the banks, and all the fish that were inside flooded over also. Now, then when the water dried up, so there's all these fish over there which are Mitzias. That is what he was hired for, to go ahead and gather. And then, yes, if he's going to find any other mitzias, since he was hired for picking up mitzias, it's going to go to the master. In contrast to Halacha of our Mishnah, where even though he was hired for general work, the mitzia was not what he was contracted for, and therefore that would go by a worker and even by an Eved Ivri, La'atzmai. Now the Gemara asks on the other half of this Halacha, that we said that there's an Eved Ivri and there's an Amma Avriya, the Jewish maid or Jewish servant, that the Metziah goes to themselves. Now, on this halacha, the Gemara is Hai Shivcha Hechadami, this Jewish maidservant, what is the actual case conceptualization? As the Gemara explains, Ida Isis Shtei Cyrus, if she already brought two pubic hairs, she's already an adult, so my boy Gabe. So what is she doing over here by the master? The halacha is, as we learn elsewhere, that she leaves when she already brings Samani Nairis when she turns 12, which is when she brings to two Cyrus. So she wouldn't even be the Amavri anymore. And the idoloi isis shtei saris, and if she didn't bring two pubic hairs, she's still a minor. So then, if her father's still alive, so then actually davu havir. Her, what she finds actually goes to the father, because as we learned in our Mishnah, a minor, her metzias go to the father. So how are we saying it goes to herself? And the idoles la'av, and if her father is not alive, then actually why is she still by the master? Tepig b'misas la'av, then she should have left being the shivcha ha'ivriya by the death of her father. Because the Amar Shlokesh, or Shlokesh said, Amma Avriya Kana Atzma, there's a few different ways that an Amma Avriya acquires herself back from the slavery that her father sold her to another person. But one of them is, says the Shlokesh, B'misa Sa'av, Mishu Sa'adu Mikav Ochemer, she acquires herself back with the death of her father from the domain of her master through Kav Ochemer. What's a Kav Ochemer? So the Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechet Kedushin of Tezayin Manaf explains that if regarding Simoni Nairis, when she has signs of maturity of two pubic hairs, which actually does not remove her from her father's domain, because actually she only leaves when she turns a begeris, yet still it removes her from the domain of her master when she sold as a shivcha. As the Gemara there learns, it says in the Pasuk, B'yatzachinam, she goes out free, that refers to 12 and a half. When it then adds on the term in kasef, without money, that even is Yumei Nairis when she brings two Cyrus. So the death of the father, which removes her even from the domain of the father, that, and what that means to say is that he does not inherit to his sons the rights that he had in his own daughter, which are her earnings, that goes to the father, that does not go to the brothers. As the Gemara Ksubas of Mem Gimel Alf explains, says regarding a non-Jewish slave, it's Nachalta Moislam of Nechem, that you could bequeath to your sons, but you don't bequeath your daughter, your rights and your daughter to your sons. So isn't it a Kav Ochemer that the death of the father should remove her from her father's domain? Because if the Simonim, which removes her from Rishus Adin, does not remove her from Rishus Av, but the death of a father removes her from the Shosav, isn't a Kavachemish removal from the domain of her master? So then we're back to the question, what exactly is this case? How do you have Amma Avriya acquiring something for herself? There's no such a case. Because if she's an adult, she should be out. If she's a minor, well, if her father's alive, it goes to the father. If her father's not alive, well, that itself should make her not Amma Avriya anymore. So the Gemara answers, wait a second. In the Gemara Masechet Kedushin already refuted this halacha of Rish Lakish. So what are you asking and saying, oh, how can you have such a case where if her father died, then she still shouldn't get it because, even though she should get it, but she shouldn't be an Amma Avriya. So the Gemara says, we refuted that. When her father dies, she does not go free. So that's the case. The case is, she's a minor, and she gets to keep it herself because her father's dead. So that the Gemara asks, you're right. But can we prove from this halacha that as another refutation of Rish Lakish, because if not for the case of her father dead and her still being Amma Avriya, we wouldn't have such a case of this halacha of Amma Avriya getting the Metziah for herself. And that says Gemara Loi. No, actually would not be a necessary refutation of Rish Lakish, because La'ilam de'is la'av. We could say that it's talking about when she's getting it, is that the father's still alive. What do we mean when we say that when the Amma Avriya finds it, that it's hers? It doesn't mean literally that it's hers. It's lafukid de rabba. It means it's coming to exclude that it doesn't go to her master. Meaning, in contrast, let's say the non-Jewish maidservant, where there it does go to the master. That's what we're contrasting and saying. But when she's Jewish, then it does not go to the master, but it goes to the father. Now, as Rashi points out, so then why did we say shalahen that it goes to her? It's because actually the father gets it from her. She actually gets it, and then the father gets it from her. That's why we say that it's hers. But although ultimately it does go to the father. So therefore, it's not a difficulty, even according to Rish Lakish, the halacha could be that we're talking about that he is still alive, and that's why she's still Amma Avriya. And instead of saying that it goes to her, it means it goes to her father. It's just saying to her, in contrast, that it doesn't go to our master. The Mishnah said then, Metzias Ishtar, the third category that it spoke about was when his wife finds something, which the Reish of the Mishnah said, when she's married, it goes to the husband. When she's divorced, then it goes to herself. So So the Gemara asks, Kirusha, when he divorces her, then the Mishnah had to tell us that it goes to her? Pshita, it's obvious. Of course, she's not married to him. Why would we think that it wouldn't go to her? So now the Gemara says, Hachamai Skinna, what are we talking about? Which case do we say when she's divorced, it goes to her? What's the Chiddush? It's talking about B'megureshes V'einu Megureshes. She's divorced, but not divorced. What does that mean? So for example, let's say he threw her her get, and it's not clear if it was closer to her or closer to him in the Rishus HaRab. If it's closer to her, she's divorced. If it was closer to him, it was still in his domain, and she was not divorced. So then a doubtful divorce. Now, moreover, the Amr Abzeir Amr Shmuel, he says, Kamakam Shamar Chacham Megureshes V'Megureshes, wherever the sages said that she's divorced but not divorced, where she's not married because could be she's divorced, but she's not divorced because maybe she's still married, so you would have to treat her like a suffering Megureshes. The halach is, Bai L'chayv B'Mzeinaseha, the husband still has to feed her. Now, it's for that reason that it was necessary to say, of course, you would have to say, Hamotzei Mechaver L'Varaya. She might be divorced. She said, no, I'm not giving it to you. But the reason why you would think that she would have to give, even though she's possibly divorced from him, and essentially he's trying to remove it from her, that the chiddush we would have to say that the metziah goes to her, is because he's feeding her. Generally, the halacha, when a wife finds something that it goes to the husband, is because the husband feeds her. That's why her metziah goes to him. Now, in this case, Megresh and Megresh, the halacha is he still has to feed her, because she's not definitely divorced yet. And that says the Gemara, that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Time am I, Amr Rabbanan, Metzias Ish Labayla. What's the reason why the rabbi said that when a woman finds something, that it goes to the husband? Because again, the husband feeds her, so then she has to then reciprocate and give him what she finds. That's Kihecha Delayta Havala Eva. That shouldn't be hatred from the husband to wife. What is this? I feed her, I clothe her, I give her everything, and then she gets something, I don't get it? What? It's a one-way street? That's why it usually goes to him. But Hacha, in this case, although he's feeding her, but Isla Eva Ve'eva, there's hatred and more hatred. He was trying to divorce her. He is divorcing her. So then therefore, of course they're not, and there's not a positive relationship over here. So therefore, although we are forcing him to feed her, we have no reason to have to reinforce that relationship by having her give her metziah to him, because that whole purpose was for Shalom Bayis. There is no Shalom Bayis. There is Eva. And therefore, we have no reason for her to have to give her metziah to him. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Not totally Megureshes, because of course they would go to her. It's even in this doubtful Megureshes, where even though he has to feed her, still she could hold on to the metziah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on these halachas about finding a lost object. What is the halacha with this metziah? Says the Mishnah, Matzah Shtari Chayv. If somebody finds documents of liability, where let's say a loan document, where somebody borrowed $1,000 amount of money from somebody, and this guy finds it. Now, we don't know who it fell from. Did it fall from the lender, and therefore he should return it to him, and he could be able to collect with it? Or did it fall from the borrower who already paid it up, and therefore he shouldn't give it to the lender? So says the Mishnah, Im yesh behen achrayis nechasim, if on this document there is a liability of properties, in other words, what's called shibud karkois, which if this guy defaults on the loan that you could collect from any land that he had at the time of the loan, then lo yachse, then you don't return it to the lender. Shebez in the front man, because the courts will be able, they'll collect with these, and they'll collect from other people where, and it might not be a rightfully collectible type of a document. And all these other consumers who bought from the bar will lose out. If there is no lien on this property, whoever bought from him will not be collected from with this document, then yachzer, then you do return it. Which Shmuel will explain this halacha of returning and not returning, what is this halacha. But says the Tanakama, she'in bez in the front hand, because the court will not collect from it. So therefore, if there's no achrayis nechasim, then you could return it to the lender, that's Divrei Meir. They disagree. They say benkach leyachzer. In either situation, you should not return it to the lender, and they should bezin the front man, because the courts will collect from them with this document, and therefore, since we're not sure if it fell from the lender, you can't return it. On this, the Gemara asks b'mayaskinan. What is the case that we're talking about over here? If it's talking about where the one who's liable, the borrower, admits that the document was not paid up, he admits it didn't fall from him. It must have fell from the lender. So then, ask the Gemara, Ki yesh ben achrayis nechasim, then even if there is shibud karkais, where the guy's property had a lien on it if he doesn't pay up, amai layachzer, why is it that you can't return this document to the lender if he wants to collect even from the lekuchais, If he's coming to collect, it's lawfully that he's allowed to because Hamayda, because the borrower admits that, yes, he did borrow and he never paid up. So there is an outstanding loan against him, which allows this guy to collect from the lekuches, from those consumers who bought from him. Now, and if the borrower is not admitting, he's denying, he's saying, no, it's not true, it didn't fall from the lender, it fell from me, I paid it up. Well, then, then how do you understand the other halacha of the Mishnah? Then why, when there's no liability of any outsiders being collected from, who had bought from him, but still, why do you return it to the lender? Although that, yes, there's not going to be any collections from the incumbent properties, from land which was bought after the point of the loan, but the lender is going to be able to collect from the available properties that the borrower does have, but he's denying. So how do you know to believe the lender? Maybe it fell from the borrower. So answers the Gemara, lo'ilim kezachayiv ma'idah. Truthfully, the case is talking about where the borrower admits. He admits that, yes, it fell from the lender, I never paid it up. Now, in the time, so what's the reason over here that we're saying that you can't return it if there's a chayis nechasim? Is the chayshina because we're concerned that shema kasav lilvas benisin. Maybe the document was written to borrow in nisin. But v'leilova tishri, the loan didn't actually happen for another 6 months up until tishri. But on the document, it says that Reuven borrowed from Shimon $1,000 in Nisan. But just the loan didn't actually happen until 6 months later in Tishrei. Then, any person that bought from this person, let's call him Reuven, who was the borrower, from Nisan till Tishrei, is going to be collected from, because the document said that the loan was outstanding from Nisan. Even though, actually, he only borrowed on Tishrei, so whoever had bought from him property before Tishrei, was not encumbered because the loan is what encumbers it. And that was only a Tishrei. So because of that problem, because of that concern, we say that you can't return it to the lender if there's a chayis nechasim because, yeah, you could collect from the Echari. So if it has no chayis nechasim, we'll return it to you. But when there's a chayis nechasim, we're concerned you've been collecting from these other people that purchased from him unrightfully, unlawfully, 6 months before when you're allowed to. Now the Gemara says, if that's our concern, well then, kol shtar das lekaman. That's a general concern regarding any document that comes in front of us. Nechash lohachi, we should have that concern. Any time a lender comes, now forget about falling on the floor like the case that we're discussing. A guy comes with a document and he says, look, you see this guy owes me $1,000 and the borrower doesn't deny. He says, yeah, I owe him $1,000, but I have nothing to pay with. So they go back and they see the date when the loan was written and they see that a few days later this guy bought from this borrower who that's Nechasim Meshabadim and he could collect from him. But why? Maybe he only borrowed it 6 months later even though the document said 6 months earlier and then you're not allowed to collect from Achrayis Nechasim. So that the Gemara says, no. Kol Shtari Loi Rei. All documents, there's no flaws, there's no concerns about it. Because when we see a document, we rely on it that it's a kosher document. There's no reason to assume not. It has witnesses, every party agrees to it. So then we don't have these concerns. We don't think up conspiracy theories and thinking that things are happening. And therefore, if it's written from Nisan, then you could collect from Nisan. Hani Rei, these documents have flaws. And that is, since it fell, that's what's called a Reyesa. There's a flaw over there. There's a concern. It's a red flag because you say, wait a second. If this was a legitimate document, this guy would have been careful. Why is it that we found this on the floor? Smells fishy. Seems like something is not so kosher over here. And because of that, we start being concerned. And that's why we say, okay, look, if there's no achrayis nechasim and the borrower admits, okay, kala kavod, fine, so give it back to the lender and let him collect with it. But if there's achrayis nechasim, we're concerned from the fact that this guy fell, there's a red flag, now we start thinking, hey, wait a second, maybe they wrote it on Nisan, but they only borrowed in Tishrei, and anyone that bought from this guy in that interim is going to be collected from unlawfully, and therefore if it's achrayis nechasim, we cannot, even if the loiv is admitting to it, go ahead and give it back to the malva, because as the Mefarshim explained, maybe he's only saying that because he doesn't want to go through the writing of a new document, which he actually borrowed at a later point in time, but really it's not from that earlier date, and therefore it's going to cause an unnecessary loss for the lekuches, and that's why we said in the halacha of the Mishnah, according to a mayor, that there's a difference between achrayis nechasim and if there is no achrayis nechasim regarding if you're going to return it to the lender, even when the borrower admits or not.